welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubber Tower, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Conjureman Ali of TheConjureMan.com in Mission Viejo, California, and special co-host, Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, bringing us today's topic on this amazing book, Hoodoo Urban Root Medicine, Open the Door to Better Health. Afterwards, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work, as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Conjureman Ali and Professor Porterfield. Conjureman Ali?
Thank you for that lovely introduction, Papa Newt. It's always wonderful to hear your dulcet tones starting off the podcast, or the radio show, I should say. I am very excited to have Miss Kat as one of our guests, as our guest today. I don't want to take away from that because it's going to be a real great topic and a wonderful treat because we get to pick Miss Kat's brain about her upcoming book. So this is going to be very exciting. Let's just check in real briefly with Professor Porterfield, see how he's doing. It's been a while since we've had you on the show, Professor Porterfield, but you are definitely a favorite guest co-host. So glad to have you here joining us this wonderful Sunday. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking, Conjureman Ali. And things are going well. I have to say that almost all of the strong, sturdy, muscled workers deep in the book mines have now come out of the book mines back into the sunlight. We've got these four amazing books that are coming out this year, and of which one of them is this amazing book that we're going to be talking about with Miss Kat today. And then once all of our book mine workers came out in the sunshine, they cleaned themselves up, dusted themselves off, and immediately set to work on this year's 2017 Hoodoo Heritage Festival. That's going to be May 13th and 14th, and we're all busily writing flyers, making preparations, getting everything all together to have a wonderful, wonderful festival for all of you. We hope to see you there.
If you haven't gone to this festival, you are missing out. You have to check it out. And I think the best way to explain it is that it's really just it's an experience. You're not just there to learn, though you do learn quite a bit. It's really an all-weekend experience. And you get an opportunity to meet with some of your favorite readers and teachers and colleagues. You get to talk and chat and make new friends. Sometimes, for a lot of people, it's the first time that they will be meeting in person, even though they've been friends for many years. So finally putting a face to the voice or to the screen that you've been talking to, as well as walking away with goodie bags. I mean, I don't think I've seen a festival or workshop weekend as generous as the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Truly, in that regard, you walk away with so much from supplies and products and trinkets and talismans and things that you will make by hand during the various panels and workshops that you'll be attending, to the books. I mean, the books are really one of those fantastic elements of this, and just the price of the books alone is a great deal. So you're really missing out. It's only in a couple weeks. We're right at the end of April. It's going to be the second week of May, so you don't want to miss out on that. Check out those.
Tickets are still available.
Yeah, tickets are still available. I have gone to several of them myself, and I can say that they are really wonderful. Go ahead, Professor Porter.
And I I also want to say, since we have the wonderful Miss Cat with us today as our guest, I also want to mention that the week before the festival, Miss Cat is going to be teaching her annual apprenticeship workshop all week long for graduates of the course that want to get extra knowledge, a little extra skill under the hand, and we're going to have 25 or 30 different people out there, and we're going to be seeing many wonderful and happy graduates of the apprenticeship this year. And so it's going to just be a fun-filled week of activity followed up by the festival. And so if you're going to the apprenticeship, get ready.
Yeah, and this is the time, this is the way Hoodoo has been taught for years. I fully encourage people to learn as a variety of different ways as you can. I mean, it's as traditional to have recipe books and as traditional to have correspondence courses, as traditional to have apprenticeships. All of these are very different modalities of learning Hoodoo. And they're all old-timey. Don't mistake one for the other. Sometimes people try to play this game of like, oh, well, I learned this way, and that's the only way you can learn. No, no, no. It's a variety of different ways you can learn Hoodoo. One of the ways that I always find to be the most rewarding, in my opinion, is the apprenticeship and the workshops, because the idea of learning hands-on, that tactile approach, is really at the heart of working Hoodoo. It's really something to see someone craft a mojo bag or a jack ball, or to point out which herbs are which. It's really something else. So I do encourage you to take advantage of both of these opportunities. They're going to be fantastic. In light of that, you know, let's bring on the guest of the hour herself, Miss Cat. It is so wonderful to have you as our guest. You get a chance to kind of step away from host's position, which you do so beautifully, and get to be a guest. We get to ask you all the questions. How are you doing on this wonderful Sunday? And what's new in your neck of the woods besides being busy with writing and preparing for the workshops?
Well, I'm having a lovely day. It's quite sunny and fun. I really enjoy it when I, can get up and around. I've been working so hard in the book world. I haven't hardly even gone out. I did this last week. I had a rare opportunity to present and lecture in front of a wonderful group, which I'd like to give a shout out to, the Sonoma County Pagan Alliance. They meet once a month in Santa Rosa, California, and have been doing so for 15 or 20 years now. And every couple of years, they have me, you know, come in and give a presentation on what it is that we do in our world, which isn't necessarily pagan, although, of course, pagans are always welcome to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful meeting with some of the people. I want to give a special shout-out to Thermal, who is the man who arranged this, and a wonderful guy, comes out of the Appalachian tradition. And if you're interested in paganism and you live in Sonoma County, the Sonoma County Pagan Association is not allied with any one coven or any one tradition. It's not Wicca, it's not British traditional witchcraft, it's not Alexandrian, it's just a lot of pagans, and they all get together and share food and have a lecturer talk to them every month. So that was a lot of fun for me. That was my first venture out after having been smashed into my room for 4 months.
Well,
literally,
you know,
for 4 months.
I mentioned in the chat that that's such the nature of Taurus workers, right? Once they get on something, they will work themselves to the bone, really, when it comes down to it. So when you're working on those books, I have no doubt that it's been a busy and intense couple of months or a few months, but I know that we're all going to be very appreciative of the beautiful work that's going to come out of this. So in light of that, let's talk a little bit about what is coming out. Let me ask you, start off, if you can just give us a brief introduction into your book, into this beautiful project that has been kind of a pet project for a little bit, and that you've been hard at work at. What is it, and what is it that got you involved in this particular book project?
Well, I have been many things in my life, and I'm continuing to have all of these different interests. I'm not any one thing. People want to paint me into a corner and say, oh, well, she's the gal with the model trains, or, oh, she's the gal who was famous as a comic book editor. But I am a Taurus, which means I do everything continually, repeatedly for the rest of my life, and I have Gemini rising, which means I want to do lots and lots and lots of things. So I have been interested in herbal medicine since I was a teen, actually since around the same time or even before the time that I became interested in anthropology in general and hoodoo in particular. And I collected books. My parents had a rare book store, and my mother was a research librarian, and she was able to, you know, find me rare books on any subject that interested me. That was her most generous contribution to my life, was books. And I had copies of very rare books that would not be a child's book normally, but, you know, here you go, here's your book. And these were given to me as birthday presents and Christmas presents. And also, I could earn them by working in my parents' bookstore cataloging books. I learned how to be a cataloger very early on. So I became interested in medical herbology. And this led me to become a gardener. My mother was also a gardener, and in my family there are many botanists and gardeners as well as book printers. So I got into medical herbology and the collecting of books and making bibliographies on books. And when I got into hoodoo, I recognized that it was a complete magical system that had its roots in several different areas of human endeavor. It was an African system of magic, but it utilized a more worldwide system of medicine, and in particular, the medical uses in hoodoo drew from European sources and what we might call sources in commerce from the 19th century onward. In other words, South American barks that were good against fever and spices from the Middle East and so forth. All of them mingled into this world of medical herbology. So I became a medical herbologist, and I don't, practice that much anymore unless people ask me to. But I made and produced salves, ointments, tinctures, teas, and other mixtures for medical herbalism all through the 60s. And I also studied hoodoo, and I began to produce hoodoo oils and other things. So these two always went side by side for me. And when I got on the internet, I realized that there were a lot of websites already existing about medical herbalism, and I didn't feel like stepping on their toes. In fact, one of the largest ones is right here in Forestville, California, where I live. There was a distribution company called Trinity Herb down in Sebastopol, a shop called Rosemary's Garden that sold retail, and then there was the Forestville School of Herbology. So I thought, well, they've got this area really closed and sewn up, and I will just stick with the magical herbology. But what I didn't realize, when I wrote the book Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, I kept on putting in little footnotes about the medical use of this is such and such. But I didn't realize then that I would actually have made a little bit of a misstep in cutting loose too much of the medical material. I also had a limited budget in printing that book, how many pages it could be. And I thought, if I go into this 100% having both sides of the equation, the medicine and the magic, this is going to end up being a 350 to 400 page book. It'll have a very high price point. People will be completely confused, so I'll stick with the magic. It was always my intention to publish a companion book to it called Hoodoo Urban Root Medicine. There are other books on this subject that touch on herbal medicine, but none of them touched on it in relation to hoodoo in a very thorough way. There have been a couple of them, but they're minor regional compilations. So I wanted to do this, but then I got more and more into, you know, people were like, but teach us hoodoo, teach us hoodoo. And so finally, as I'm, approaching retirement, I'm trying to weave some of these loose strands back into the fabric. And that is what this is. So this book covers two bases. And one base is I am publishing a series of books called The Lucky Mojo Library of Occult Classics. And the first one of those was Legends of Incense, Urban Wild Magic, which came out last year. And these are annotated, edited, revised, reprints, restored, totally redone, basically, reprints of classic books that were found in hoodoo conjure shops during my youth. And then this is also has quite a bit of my knowledge in it added to it. So this book was published by a company called Sunray Products Company, and it came out in 1947, which happens to be the year I was born. And so I decided to put this book together. It's a lovely little book. It's a delightful book. It's tiny. It's like a little vest pocket book with tiny, tiny type. And being a typesetter, I looked at that and I thought, if I did that in normal size type and added a little bit here and there, it would be a 96-page book. So not knowing who Sunray Products Company was of Ogama, Wisconsin, but they sold herbs, I know the book was out of copyright. In fact, the book never was copyrighted. That's the funny thing. It just was this little booklet. And so I put it out with my own amendation. So it's a joint production between me and someone who's probably dead. And Sunray Products Company, S-U-N-R-A-E, was also known as Supraco for Sunray Products Company. And so that's what I know about them, and so that's why this book is what it is.
I remember Sunray a little bit. I do. So it's fascinating to see. And I for one, am very appreciative of having these kind of classics come back, in particular because a lot of them are impossible to get a hold of. They disappear. Sometimes they get damaged, or there's reprints where things get bigger. So I love seeing that work is still being done to kind of excavate and uncover. But before we go further, I really want to ask about something. You use the term medical herbology. And I think this is important to take a pause and really look at what is that. So based off of your study, your research, what is medical herbology? And maybe a rudimentary question. Not all of us, not all the people listening are aware of the medicinal side to the work that we do as root doctors and conjurers. So I want you to take a moment, if you could perhaps explain to us a little bit about what is medical herbology and what is it that they can, what they will find in getting this book. Does it come in a particular form, or particular styles, particular ailments that are being treated? So if you could take a moment to maybe perhaps enlighten us on that.
Okay. This is an interesting thing. A lot of modern, you've really opened up a huge topic here, and I'd love to talk about it, but it really is amazingly interesting to me, but I don't know how much, you know, people like it. Back in the early days of medicine, symptoms were grouped together, and those are now sometimes called presenting or presenting symptoms. Nowadays, when we talk about a group of symptoms, we sometimes will call it a syndrome. In other words, these things all go together, but we don't know what the cause is. Diagnosis progressed in medicine until the actual mechanisms of disease were understood. When people think of medical herbology, we have to understand that all medicine is involved in chemistry, essentially, with a few exceptions. There are some electrical forms of, you know, for instance, the electrical energy in the brain. If someone has epilepsy, there are ways. But let's just skip all that, okay? We're going to go just to the things that use chemistry. You think of medicine now as, I took a white pill, I got better, or I took a purple pill and I felt nicer, or I have to take a purple pill every day because I've got this ongoing thing, right? Or they injected this liquid into me, but I don't know what it is. But all of those are chemicals. And plants themselves, herbs and roots and plants of all type, make chemicals, as do minerals. And there also is some minerals in modern medicine. Like, for instance, platinum, for some reason, has a good usage in cancer treatments. But so it goes. But we look at this now and we go, oh, modern medicine is the white pills and the clear liquid. Mm-hmm. But they are made from plants. To this day, many of them, they use plants as raw materials. They refine them and they standardize them. The reason this was done was to standardize them, not so much because herbs are ineffective, but because if you had willow bark from the north side of a tree that was stripped in May, it might not have the same effect as willow bark from the south side of a tree stripped in August. It just has to do with your knowledge of those herbs, roots, and whatever. And so there was an attempt to standardize them, willow bark is what essentially became aspirin. And aspirin is a standardized form of willow bark, but you can just use willow bark. What medical herbology assumes is that you will either have a guide or teacher or doctor who understands the dosing of this, these things, or that you, as a fully formed, unique, intelligent individual with willpower and in charge of your own health and healing, you'll say, this willow bark is weaker than it was last year. I'll add some more to the tea next time. Right? I mean, that's, you know, but I won't add so much that I become ill or start to bleed from my stomach, which would happen if you overdosed on aspirin, right? So medical herbology takes the patient, becomes part of their own treatment plan, and the doctor is an herbologist. Starting around 1906, when the Pure Food and Drug Act was passed, there was an attempt to standardize and get rid of the adulterants in herbs. In other words, let's not put tag alder bark into our willow bark to dilute it and sell it for something valuable, which it's not valuable for. So that was the Pure Food and Drug Act. But what happened then was the American Medical Association got in on the act, and they decided to basically drive the medical herbologists out of business by saying, the only people who can practice medicine will have a license from our colleges, and we will not approve of any other colleges. And so medical herbology was discounted until the rise of the hippies, who kind of fought back and said, please, give us this back again. But plants were outlawed by 1935. Marijuana, a very valuable medicine, was outlawed. They've now outlawed Mormon tea or ephedra. It's a plant that grows wild all over America, but now it's against the law, you know. Because, why? Because you can use it to make speed. It is speed. It's an herb. It's an herb that makes speed inside your body. So the knowledge of medical herbology was discounted. People were arrested. It's a long, sad story. And, however, there always have been people fighting back, basically under the rights of the First Amendment, to we have the right for free speech, and you have the right to prescribe for yourself. So books on medical herbology have been around, and what they do is they give you combinations, remedies. Many of these old-fashioned books go by symptom while recognizing that there may be a disease underlying it. For instance, inflammation. What causes inflammation? It could be a blow, trauma, that would cause the tissues to become lymphatically inflamed. It could be a bacteria. It could be a rose thorn that stabbed you that you were either allergic to or that carried some fungus on the rose thorn and caused an inflammation. All of these methods of diagnosis are somewhat put to one side in old-fashioned medical herbology. Well, it's an inflammation. We'll treat it with an anti-inflammatory. And, of course, your doctor right now would do that. But also, modern medical herbology will go down and look at it. Well, what is causing this? Do we need an antioxidant? Do we need an immune supporter? And so forth. And so modern herbology continues to develop, even while old herbology will continue to address symptomatic relief primarily. Did that, I hope that made sense.
Oh, that made perfect sense. And thank you for giving us
absolutely
that introduction.
Yeah. Chat room, I just got to say, in the chat room, I'm going to give a shout out to Reverend Dr. Sweets, who's always a good chat room participant. Yes, ephedra, aspirin, and caffeine for weight loss, very safe if you mix it right. Even safer is Mormon tea, willow bark, and coffee, right? You don't need to take the white pills. You just take that, make yourself, that's a weight loss tea. Millions of people have used that as a weight loss tea.
Absolutely. And, I really appreciate what you were saying earlier about this idea of sort of painting you into a corner, because I would like to remind our listeners, both listening now and later who listen in the archives, that Miss Cat is also the author, along with Eileen Smith, of the California Gardener's Book of Lists. So, you know, this is, you can't just judge a book by its cover, if you will. And I was wondering, Miss Cat, if you would help us address something. Conjurman Ali mentioned this, and you mentioned this in the intro to the book. And by the way, I have to say, folks, I had the rare privilege to get to proofread this book, and it is fantastic. I mean, it is absolutely fantastic. And I'm going to say something that some people might think is a bit odd. This book is chocked full of medical herbal knowledge, but I guarantee you that the book pays for itself just in Miss Katz's introduction to the book. You're going to read the introduction to the book and feel like you could close the book, but then you're going to have another, you know, like 80-plus pages of hardcore information, okay? And in that introduction, you brought up this one thing, and Conjure Man Ali, thank you so much for making reference of it in the chat room as well, that because of this, because of the Pure Food and Drug Act, because of the almighty patent and other things, we started to have a separation in the community of conjure workers, hoodooists, etc., where we have that wonderful term root doctor, where root doctor started being separated from any sort of medical knowledge into only a magical knowledge. And in fact, we have some root doctors today because of this, not because they're illy trained or they're illy educated, but because of this circumstance that are completely separated and divested from the understanding of using those roots in a way beyond magic. And could you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, this what you brought up is one of the great sorrows of my life in America, having witnessed this. Because of social and political injustices in the South, after the freeing of African Americans from slavery, many of them continued to encounter prejudice, discrimination, and outright killing, lynching, and burning down of their houses. And so they moved to the North. And this was called the Great Northern Migration. And it started around World War One, and it continued until actually about 1970, when it sort of just died away as a movement. Enough people had moved away. When black people moved to the North, many of them crowded into ghettoized urban areas, some of which had previously been either Irish ghettos, Sicilian Italian ghettos, or Jewish ghettos. And as those people had moved up in society, these tenements and ghetto areas were then taken over by black Americans. When that happened, they were cut off from medical herbology sources. You couldn't go out in the woods and get an herb because there were no herbs. You were in Chicago, right? And this coincidentally, not purposefully, with the outlawing of medical herbology. Interestingly enough, Appalachian granny magic people and granny doctors who used medical herbs, and some, in the Ozarks they were called Yarb doctors, they retained the connection between medical herbs and magical herbs better. Although their magic was a very different form of magic, it was not conjure or hoodoo, they had an English, Irish, Scottish, you know, form of magic, but they retained their understanding and knowledge of herbal medicine. And when I was young, again, I'm talking about in the 60s, 70s, 80s, most of the people that I knew who were still selling herbs, medical herbs, supplying them to the trade, came out of an Appalachian background, white Appalachian background. And the black people who I knew were had retained their magic against all odds, but the medical herbalism began to fray and fall apart because they were living in these horrible urban ghettos with no access to plants. No one could say, come with me and look, that plant there, that's a fern, that will do this, this will do that. There weren't any ferns, it was nothing. So the same thing that caused assholes like Donald Trump to use the word urban when he means black American is also a reflection of what caused hoodoo to somewhat lose touch with its medical practices. But then when white people suddenly discovered hoodoo via the internet around, you know, whatever, 1998 to 2002, and all of a sudden, oh, we're all doing hoodoo, we're white, but it's just the same as what we've got, which was wrong. But they didn't get the notion, right, that hoodoo was the magical component. And they were saying, well, we do all of this, and we also have herbal medicine, which is somewhat true. But they got the magical.
But there was
confused.
Not a bush doctor amongst them.
That's right. That wasn't a bush doctor. And that was an old, that's good for you, Charles. That's an old-fashioned term for a person who practiced herbal medicine. A bush doctor, what in the Ozarks was called a yarb doctor. So there are problems because fortune-telling was being outlawed in all over the country, and people had to turn towards saying, I'm a spiritual, I'm a reverend, whatever, so as not to get arrested for being a fortune teller. They didn't want to get arrested for being a root doctor, and yet that word doctor persists in Black culture. If anything sad to report, it's that the people who taught me hoodoo when I was young were much older than me. They were my grandmother's age and my mother's age. They all knew what roots to use for medicine. And that's one reason I was attracted to that practice. But nowadays, I don't see as much of that. So this is partially an attempt to give back to the Black community a little bouquet of some of the knowledge that was lost, you know. And I fully intend not to be, you know, like, hi, I'm bringing you this brand new thing, but saying, by the way, remember this. And that's why I chose to reprint the Sunray Products booklet with my own additions, because I really felt that I wanted to take it back to 1947, the year I was born, and just say, look, this is where I joined the stream of practitioners.
That's really beautiful. I love that you said that it gives back to the Black community there. And this was a very important question, I think, this the kind of the way the stream kind of bifurcates or separates a little bit between herbal medicine and magical practices. And it really speaks to the history of persecution, the migration, even dealing with legal troubles, being persecuted for practicing medicine, for different herbs, all sorts of things. I want to ask you specifically about the book, though. In regards to content, what is it that a person who is curious, who is interested, what is it that they will find in the book? Will they get recipes and tinctures? Will they learn about salves and teas? What are some of the things that they will come across reading your book?
Okay. Very much in the style of my book, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, this is an alphabetical list. And folks, before you go to Amazon and say, the book has no index, open your mind and remember that the alphabet is the way an index is done, and the alphabet is the way the book is done. In other words, you don't need an index to the alphabet because you've already got the alphabet, right? So it starts with, I hate to say that, but I get that. I get burned when people say, there's no index. Why should there be index? The whole book's in alphabetical order. So the it's a list of herbs from A through Z, and it tells what they are used for medically. In other words, it would say, just as an example, it might say ginger. It's a stomachic. It is used for your stomach, right? And there is a definition of terms, because some of these terms are older wording. And so there's that. And then at the end, I have added recipes. In addition to what came in the original book, there's a definitions, there are recipes, and there are illustrations. And the illustrations are by a guy named Frederick Matthews from 1902. That's the same artist whose illustrations are in Hoodoo Urban Root Magic. And there's a lot in there. There's also some history. I wrote an introduction giving the history of medical herbology, some of what I've, you know, similar to what I'm saying right now. The definitions are important when reading any old book on herbal medicine. It'll say things like diaphoretic, or it'll say sudorific. If you don't know the difference, you can look them up. A diaphoretic gives you a very imperceptible feeling of slight perspiration, and a sudorific makes you sweat like heck. And some things are both, depending on dosage, and some will never progress. You can dose all you want to, but it'll never go beyond diaphoretic, which some people call opening your pores. Right? So you need to learn this terminology, all supplied in the book. Then for every herb, it'll tell you, and this is the most important point in this book, it will give you the page on Hoodoo Urban Root Magic that you can look up the magical uses.
Oh, wow.
So it'll say, like, for instance, you know, barberry, and it'll tell you what barberry is used for medically. And then it says go to page such and such of Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, and it will also even give you if there's an illustration in Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, because I didn't want to duplicate the illustrations, it will tell you the page that the illustration is on in Hoodoo Urban Root Magic. So the two books are made to be used together. And they, you know, you if you have one, you'll want the other because they'll go together. And when I reprint Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, which, of course, we reprint it every few years, I will then add the call-outs to this book, too, so that the two books will then be able to be used as a two-volume set. They go together, and they will go together. When I reprint this book, I will be reprinting it in the size and form of Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, and I will be expanding it more. But that's many years down the road. Okay, so we're just trying to get the two books together. Eventually, as Professor Porterfield told me, there will be a one-volume collection bound in cane toad skin.
Oh, Professor Porterfield, that is, I could actually hear you saying that, and what's so funny about that. But I've just got to say that for someone who loves herb and root magic, the Green Bible, as it is colloquially called, I must say I love the idea of linking the two books together, not just the mat, like, oh, these are complementary, but actually putting page numbers in there. That's so helpful for people who are using it as a resource. They look at one, and then they're able to look at the other. And I think this is also important for not just linking the two books, but really in many ways kind of reviving the tradition of looking at herbs and their medicinal quality as well, so that you look at it and go, okay, well, there's a reason why we use it in magic this way. Does it have something to do with the way we use it in medicine? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes they're completely different. But I think that you're really building something organic, if you'll pardon the pun, by linking these two together and helping people start to think in a more holistic way about the herbs and roots and stuff that they use in Hoodoo. And it's not just simple ingredients that you toss together. There's more than that.
May I butt in and give an example?
Oh, no, please.
Because this might help people understand. Everyone who uses Hoodoo Urban Root Magic knows that Balm of Gilead buds are used to help couples reconcile. They're slightly sticky. You stick to the two little buds together. They reunite. They soothe. The word balm, it's a reference to the Bible. Is there no balm in Gilead? It's about soothing. Okay? Everyone knows to use Balm of Gilead buds in soothing a relationship, whether it was a love or a business relationship or whatever kind, that where there was a fight or a quarrel. However, going to Balm of Gilead buds in medicine, soaked in alcohol, an excellent application for cuts and bruises. Steeped in unsalted butter, olive oil, or tallow, giving a healing salve, and valuable as a decoction in coughs, colds, and lung trouble. So you can see how it soothes you medically as well as magically.
Oh, wonderful. You can really see that logic there. Thank you, Ms. Kat, for being such an awesome guest. I can tell you that I am very excited about this book. It's probably the book I'm most excited about. I know Vulvamancy is very exciting and thrilling, and don't get me wrong, I love the book too. But this is the book I think I'm looking forward to the most personally. So thank you for introducing us to it, for giving us a little bit of the synopsis. We are now going to head to our reading, and we're going to have Papa Newt guide us forward with that.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your host, Conjurman Ali, and Professor Porterfield, and this week's special guest, Catherine Ironwood, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the form, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you are available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is a first-time caller, calling in from a California area code of 559, but located in Oregon. This is Ashley. Ashley, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. welcome to the show. And I see that you have not had any readings with Miss Cat or Conjurman Ali or Professor Porterfield, but you have been doing readings with your friend on this situation. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was just one kind of impromptu reading on this.
Oh, sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Ashley writes, "My husband of 9 years wants to leave me. This has happened before, and each time it happens out of the blue. This time, his personality has totally changed, and he doesn't remember the past accurately. My therapist suspects mental illness. At this point, he is totally unwilling to work on our relationship. We still live together. When this isn't happening, he is a good man. My hope is that he will stay so that we can work on our relationship and he can get help." Turning back to you, Congressman Ali.
Thank you, Papa Newt. Ashley, I'm sorry to hear about your situation. We thank you for trusting us with this. So we're going to take a closer look at this. We're going to have Professor Porterfield do your first reading, stepping in for Miss Cat, and then Miss Cat, as our guest, will do the next one, and I will complete with some root work recommendations. Before we dive in, there's a couple things I'm going to ask. First, you mentioned that your therapist suspects mental illness. Is this your couple's therapist? Like, is he going to therapy as well, or is it only your therapist?
No, this is only mine. He said that he's not willing to go with me.
So he's not in therapy himself?
No, he's not. So it's just unofficial diagnosis.
Okay, thank you. And what is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Taurus.
Reliable Taurus, sticking it into the end. Yeah. And what is his sign of the zodiac?
He is a Cancer.
He's a Cancer. Okay. Not a bad combination. Let's have Professor Porterfield do your first reading, okay?
Okay.
Hello, Ashley. I have two questions for you before I start to read for you. My first question is, do you have any children together?
No, we do not.
And how old is your husband?
He is about to turn 30.
He's about to turn 30. All right. So we're going to look at three cards here very quickly, and I read playing cards. And we've got these three cards down. I'm going to start reading from the middle card, and then we're going to read out. The middle card we have here is the Two of Hearts. This is a very, very good card in any matter involving love or romance or marriage. This is the Lovebirds. And if you can picture in your head what a playing card that has the Two of Hearts looks like, it has two hearts, and their little points are pointing towards each other. That's like the little beaks of the little lovebirds that are coming together. This is a card of romance. This is a card of love. This is a card of a good marriage, happiness together. So I see that at the root, at the base of your all's relationship, there definitely is love. Because of the way you describe his behavior, this also suggests to me that the therapist is correct, because we have this vacillation. It's very clear to me he does love you, but then suddenly he wants to go. He's got to get out. He's got to leave. Now, to our Two of Hearts immediate left, we have the Six of Hearts. And the Six of Hearts is, all the sixes are roads, and this is the road of the heart. This is a journey that's going on. It often is a romantic journey, but here it's sitting in this left-hand position, which involves you directly. All matters on our left are about what's in your heart, your head, and in your home. And so this tells me that you have been doing this for a while. Meaning, this isn't the first time, as you said, this probably is not going to be the last time anytime soon. So you're kind of going along, you're kind of moving along, you're like, I love him, I'm going to bear up with this, I'm going to keep the journey going. The problem with that is that the emphasis here is on you. You're taking the lion's share of the responsibility. You're taking the bigger effort. You're the one doing the work, as it were. And I must advise you that that's not going to work out in the long run. It's called a partnership for a reason. You see what I'm saying to you? And obviously, yeah. we want to be sympathetic with those we love with. We certainly want to give solace and comfort and balm, as we as Ms. Kat mentioned earlier, to those who are experiencing physical or mental sickness. You know, if your husband got cancer, you wouldn't just pack up your bags and go, "Oh, I didn't sign on for cancer. Adios." Right?
Right.
So
right.
I understand why you're not saying, "Oh, you've got mental illness. I've got to go." But you must be careful that there is a partnership going on here, that this is not simply mm-hmm. you, because you cannot make someone do something. You see what I'm saying? You can't make him get help. He's at some point going to have to want to be on the road of love with you. Now, to the right-hand side of our Two of Hearts, we have the Nine of Diamonds. Now, the Nine of Diamonds is here in the right-hand position. It's talking about things that are not immediately in your home, in your heart, in your head. These are outer forces. Normally, this is a very good card, but here it's troubling because it's moving away. It's moving to the right. It's not moving into the left. It's not coming towards you. It's moving away from you. And the Nine of Diamonds is the bank. And it warns us that we need to watch after our riches. That means our physical money, our material possessions. We have to secure mm-hmm. our property, and we have to secure our goods. So I'm wondering, is he employed?
He is employed, yes.
Okay, good. Is his mental illness starting to manifest, as we so often see with people that are suffering from mental illnesses of a variety of different kinds? Is it starting to manifest in a failure to take care of his circumstances, to care for his own personal grooming, for his things, for his items? Is there some trouble here where he might be having fits of anger, where he's breaking things, or he's tossing things, or he's letting bills go by unpaid because he's caught up in something? You're going to need to watch out for all of that. And, mm-hmm. again, you're the one carrying the load. So let me very quickly and remind you of something. If you've ever traveled by plane, you will remember this. When you get on that little plane, the steward or the stewardess comes up and they, you know, they fold their little arms out. Here are the exits. Here's your flotation device, etc. And then they say, if this plane were to depressurize, these beautiful little gas masks will fall from the ceiling so that you can breathe. Please put your mask on first before helping someone else. That's what you need to hear today. You've got to take care of yourself, Ashley, or you're going to drain yourself out, and then you won't be able to help him. So please put your mask on first, and then you can help him get his mask on. I hope this has been of some aid to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Professor Porterfield. We're going to have Ms. Kat do the second reading. Ms. Kat, what insight can you share with us?
Okay, Ashley. I'm going to say this show has always been heavy on Tauruses, so welcome to the world of Tauruses. I think today we have a three Taurus show. We have Papa Newt, Conjurman Ali, and myself are Tauruses. We have Professor Porterfield, who's a Capricorn, always in support mm-hmm. of the Earth signs. They are the cardinal Earth sign. So I think that Charles touched on something that came up right away in my reading also, and that is the reliability and faithfulness of the Taurus. Now, the mm-hmm. first card I have is the Six of Cups. Cups is a water sign, and it shows two little children in a courtyard, a very protected courtyard, and there's a man guarding them, but his back is turned to them, and they have little cups, and in those cups are jasmine flowers, little white star jasmine. And the little boy is giving the girl a cup with flowers in it, and she's gratefully accepting it. And this is a card of love, but it's also, Nagashiva pointed out that it's directly relates to the Six of Hearts. I wasn't even thinking that. Right, of course, same card, but in tarot. So this is sometimes referred to as the long-term love that could be as brother and sister as well as in husband and wife. It also shows in the courtyard an emblem, a heraldic shield with an X on it, a crossroads. And it says, even if the two of you were to part, you will always be psychically linked. So this is not about, I close the iron door forever. There is a link between the two of you. It was forged quite a while ago. It does date back to a commonality of hearts going back to, we say childhood, but it doesn't necessarily mean literal knowing each other since kindergarten, but it means since the time of immaturity and growing up together. It's a very good card, and it does show a psychic link. The next card is the Nine of Wands. Now, here is the Nine of Wands is a card that shows a man leaning on a staff, and behind him there are eight staffs stuck in the ground. They could be a protective fence, and he's being protected against any injury. However, that's not really what the card looks like. He has a bandage on his head, which indicates he's been hit before, and he has a suspicious look on his face, and he's looking back at, he's on the right-hand side of his card looking to the left. He's looking back at that card on the left, the Six of Cups, suspiciously. He has an unpleasant frown, and we consider this a card that indicates either a traumatic head injury or a mental illness, because the bandage on the head indicates something is wrong with the head, something is wrong with the mind, physically or mentally, electrically, chemically, something's wrong. And this person has assumed what we might call a paranoid worldview. So what seems to have been possibly the idea of a protective fence, they look at it as a threat. Other people are going to attack them. They feel beleaguered. They feel attacked. They feel paranoid. Now, I don't like to speak ill of any sign, but Cancer, which is a sign of the home and of self-protectiveness, can develop either hypochondria or mental protectiveness to an extreme degree that can be debilitating. All signs have negatives. For instance, Taurus, greed, food hunger, and weight gain, big Taurus problems. Well, I'm not trying to single out cancers as having a problem, but they do have a problem. Once they develop a paranoid ideation, it's very hard to get rid of it in them. If it's hypochondria, it will stick with them sometimes for life. So that's not a good card. You're saying, does he have hypochondriacal or negative ideation going on?
He has a lot of paranoia that borders on, like, self-preservation. So he does have that where he feels like everybody is against him.
That's what this is the card of. It also tells you that he is not cursed, because this is a card of mental illness. And it is a card that says it's all in his mind. Okay. The third card is called the Two of Pentacles. And this is the card that shows a person juggling coins. So this also goes to the idea of ups and downs. I call this card the ups and downs. It shows a guy juggling or balancing two coins that are connected by an infinity symbol. Your finances are tied up with his. They're connected. Behind the man is an ocean of rising and falling waves, not cresting or breaking, not a storm, just up and down, up and down. There are two ships, one going down, one coming up, one big, one little. And this person is trying to balance trying to balance the finances. I suggest, and it was also already suggested, I think, by Alchemical Artisans Hour, who is a professional reader who's in the chat room, that it's time for you to start a separate bank account. And Alchemical Artisans Hour, honey, you're beating me to my own game. This is a card of bipolar disorder. And so I would say, this is a problem, and it's going to reoccur. If you talk him down from this ledge, there will be another ledge. And at your young age, you may wish to think how long that this should persist for you. there are people who are Tauruses who say, you know, I meant what I said and I said what I meant, and elephant's faithful 100%, and they're going to go through it, life with a mentally ill person, a paranoid person, a bipolar person, even a schizophrenic person, for their entire life. I signed on for the job and I'm going to stick with it. But you don't have to. This is telling you, this is a distant early warning that this is going to reoccur. If it wears off and you go, oh my God, he's better now, it will come back again. And the frequency of the ups and downs of the bipolar disorder are not necessarily predictable. If a person cycles rapidly, you'll be able to you'll get it really quick. But if they cycle slowly, you'll go, oh, we cured it. Oops, it's back. And it'll, there's always that disconnecting moment when you have to get involved. Okay? So I'm saying here that I know that your therapist was making a diagnosis based on not being the doctor, but here we have psychic readers saying the same thing. And so take it for what it's worth. I am not a doctor, but the cards here indicate that this will reoccur.
Yeah.
And it will impact your finances. It will impact your finances. Your money is tied up with this man's money.
Thank you.
I would suggest, as a Taurus, it's time for you to put some in a box, in a shoe, in a personal safety deposit box of your own. And you might need to do this for a while, but you will need to land somewhere. And it's very hard for a Taurus to let go of a marriage. I've had that problem myself. But Taurian optimism will reassert itself if he does take a powder. All right, I'm going to turn this over for root work.
Thanks, Kat. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Kat. There's literally no time left, so I'm going to speak real fast. This is going to be in the archive, so please listen back to it. If you decide to go through with this, you need to work at this long term. So what I want you to do is take some clarity oil, put it in his bath wash. This is going to be very, very important for him to regularly wash with that. He needs clarity. It's not just about healing the relationship, but it's about actually making him see what's going on. He's in a fog. He's having a difficult time seeing what the issue is. So clarity is very important. Next, I want you to take a couple's photo, a photo of you and him from a happy point in your life. Ms. Kat has recommended this work before. And in the back, you're going to put this photo in a photo frame. In the back, on an envelope, I want you to write out Psalm 4, which is good to put restless minds to rest, to help with sleep and the healing of the mind. You're going to write out Psalm 4 and your and his name on there, along with basil, bay, magnolia, rose petals, and violet leaves. You're going to place that into the envelope, close that, and keep that in your joint space. So you can put it in your bedroom, you can put it in the living room, somewhere where you'll see it. The next thing that I want you to do is I want you to get some type of massage oil. You can also use grapeseed oil, sweet almond oil, any type of carrier oil will work. I recommend either grapeseed or sweet almond oil. Sweet almond oil and grapeseed both have very strong connections to the mind. And I want you to add a couple drops of clarity oil, a couple drops of healing oil, and a couple drops of reconciliation oil. And use that as a massage to either massage his feet, to touch him, massage his back, any type of physical contact, and do this while you're having a conversation with him so that the physical touch soothes him, but the spiritual products soothe him as you have the difficult conversations, whether that's getting therapy, getting help, or whatever it is you need. I know we spoke very fast there, but you can listen to what we said in the archive. Thank you for trusting us with your situation. And we do wish you well. Call back and let us know how things turn out. We are going to take a quick break, and then we're headed on to our next week.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next caller. Our next caller is calling in from area code 480 in Arizona. This is Sarah. So Sarah, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
Welcome to the show. I see you've been listening to us for a few months, and thank you for entrusting us with your question today. And, I do see that you have not had any readings with Ms. Kat or Conjurman Ali, but you have had a private reading on this session with another reader in 2016?
That's correct. It was more of a confirmation reading, I guess. Normally the services last for, you know, an hour is what I booked, but we went on for a long time and she confirmed some of the issues and telling me to kind of revitalize my life and my spirituality again.
All right. Well, thank you, Sarah. And she writes, I'm at a major crossroads in my life as I'm about to finally get my degree and move forward, pursue my next endeavors. I used to believe that there was some sort of dark force curse over most of my life through my family, which has had a direct impact on my relationships. But ever since I have become estranged from them, things are somewhat improving. However, this still seems to follow around my love life, and it is unclear of what actions I need to take to either rectify it or break the cycle. What can I do to further protect myself and also move forward to having a happy love life again? Turn it back to you, Conjurman Ali.
Thanks, Papa Newt. So let me see if I understand your question, because you're talking about being at a crossroads. What you're fundamentally wanting to know is what you can do to improve your love situation, to take a look and see if you are still stuck in that cycle or things are moving because you're at this crossroads, and that you will find love again. Is that kind of the gist of what you're looking at?
Yes, my love life has been extremely complicated, and associations with my family have been very dark and dramatic, and even to the point where they infected the life of my child. So when I finally became estranged from them a few years ago, things started to improve, but it still seems like I'm kind of trapped in this cycle.
Yeah, that's a valid question. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm an Aquarius.
You're an Aquarius. Okay. And if you don't mind me asking, because I usually ask this with Aquarius, is roughly how old? You don't have to tell me a specific age. If you're uncomfortable, you could tell me like you're in your 30s or your 20s or whatnot.
I'm proud of my age. I'm 32.
You're 32. Okay. There's a couple reasons I'm asking for that. First and foremost, is check to see where you are in your Saturn return. You are out of your Saturn return, so that's a good sign. So you're talking about things improving, that could be a contributing factor. Two, as an Aquarius, you tend to be affected more by the Saturn return than most of the other signs, even more so than Capricorn, who tends to be pretty solid and unchanged by things. But more importantly, Aquarius tends to find love a little bit later in life, similar with careers. They tend to be late starters, not because they're lazy, not because things don't go their way, but just because they tend to have some complications in their lives. So it takes a little bit for an Aquarius's life take off. I have found after doing many, 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 many astrological readings for clients over the years that almost all of my Aquarius clients, with only a few exceptions, they find their careers later in life, usually in their 30s, similar with their love lives. They tend to find true happiness or love in their life a little bit later. So that's something to bear in mind here, that the astrology does play a big factor in this. So I pulled a few cards just to make sure, are you out of this cycle yet or not? The very first card that I have is the Hermit. The Hermit is a figure who is up alone in the mountain, with a staff in his hand. He is wrapped in a cloak. This is a person who is a bit weathered and beaten, who has much experience in life. Your experiences that you've gone through are not just in your head. They're not just, you know, minor things. They're real experiences. those difficulties shaped you. Those difficulties had an impact on your life. The impact from your family, on your relationships, on your child, these weren't minor things. They transformed you. And that's very important to remember. And Miss Cat, I once had a wonderful reading with Miss Cat. She pointed out, if you look very closely at this card, the lantern that is being held, inside the lantern is the star. So since then, I usually connect this card with the star card. And this tells us that there's still some part of you that gazes to the past, some part of you that wonders about what was lost, some part of you that still is holding on. It may not always be something like you sitting around and reminiscing, but there's a part of you that hasn't quite let go. You are still in the moment of what if. Could things have been better? What about that thing in the past, right? So you're still pondering what has gone on. And this is a card of a person who is facing the past. So this tells you you're not quite out of the cycle yet. And that's confirmed by the King of Cups. The King of Cups is a monarch, a powerful monarch, a person who has a great deal going for them, but they are a monarch that are out in the rocky waters. Unlike the other kings or queens, they're not on solid land. Their throne is right dab in the middle of turbulent waters. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that the circumstances around you are still in flux. Now, you can be unmoved by them, you can be unchanged by them, you cannot let them affect you, or you can allow them to affect you, and then you'll go down. So the things around you are still in flux. They've not quite settled down. Be patient with it. You are moving out of your past issues. You're moving in the right direction. But emotionally, you have to allow things to settle. Don't let yourself be affected. Now, when I see this card, I usually tell people, it's like if you've come out from a big, serious curse, and then the next morning you stub your toe, and you're like, oh, that's it, I'm still cursed, life is horrible, I can't take this anymore, right? It's very important not to let the circumstances around you lead you to feeling like you have no solid ground to stand on. You're still letting the past haunt you, even if the effects in the past, even if the past itself is no longer with you. So you're still carrying something with you, and the current flux may exacerbate it. So this is very important. This is all about something that's going on in an internal dialogue for you. You need to address that. The card that's going to help you and the card that gives me hope is the Chariot. The Chariot shows a person who is victorious and successful. They have a canopy of stars above them, and they are being pulled forth by two sphinxes. This tells me that the kind of flux and turbulence that's still going on is climate. It's all weather. Don't allow it to draw you back into despair. Don't let it draw you back in the past. Let things settle, and then you'll move wonderfully forward. Combine practical work, emotional work, spiritual work. Both of these, all these different elements, in order to help yourself move on. Don't be afraid to seek out therapy if you need it. Don't be afraid to seek out socializing if you need it. And combine it with magical work. Combine it with practical steps of really changing your life. So a combination of approaches, things that will change your life practically as well as support it spiritually, is going to be the key to moving this Chariot forward. You're not quite out of the cycle yet, but you're getting there. It all comes down to how you react to your circumstances and a little bit more turbulation that is ahead of you. If you react properly and don't let yourself sink beneath the waves, I strongly suspect you will move forward. If you allow yourself to be affected by the turbulence around you, it can draw you back. So when you say you're at the crossroads, you are at the crossroads. Things are headed in the right direction, and now it's up to you and how you react to your circumstances to change what's going on. That's what I see here. We're going to have Miss Cat come in and see if she can provide you further insight, and then we'll have Professor Porterfield give you some group work recommendations.
Okay. Hi, hon. I'm going to tell you quickly. I have pulled three cards. And the story that I see in these cards, the narrative of these cards, also focuses with a very strong emphasis on the past. This is a card called the Three of Swords. It's a heart stabbed through with three swords under a rainy sky. It is the card of the past, but it's about real tragedy and sorrow. I think you may have actually been downplaying some of what you referred to, the darkness in the family. There's a lot of pain here. And it involves at least three people or at least three areas of life that have been impacted, such as, just as an example, people could say the three things might be legal, they might be health-oriented, they might be sexuality, they might be career, but three things have been really affected here, and it is super bad, but it is in the past, okay? It tells me you cannot go back to that family, you cannot deal with it in the way that you did before. Whatever happened there, you were the victim of some real tragedy, okay? The second card, so I'm just going to leave it. I'm just going to say it reifies this. You're not making it up. You're not dramatizing. It's for real. The second card is called the Eight of Pentacles. And the Eight of Pentacles shows a worker at a little workbench with a hammer and chisel making coins that they are engraving with a little pentacle design, a little five-pointed star design. And they have some of them hung up on the wall, you know, their skills, their talents that they offer. One of them did not work out. It's kind of bent, and they just sort of kicked it under the bench. But they haven't thrown it in the garbage because, of course, these coins are made of real valuable material, gold. And, of course, they will be melted down and try again. But this person is cheerful enough that even though one of them messed up, it's no good, they are trying again with another blank coin to get some work done by evening. So this is a card of persistence despite failure, and it's a card of developing skills and talent. And it's a card of steady progress. Now, a lot of people consider it a card of money because it is a coins, but it also can be putting yourself on display. This person would not sell their little gold discs, and I don't really think of them as coins. They look like big dinner plates, actually. They would not sell these if they didn't have them on display. No one would know they make them. And they've hung them outside their workshop, and they themselves are working outside their workshop. So this tells me that you need to have some courage, put yourself out there. If something messes up, just remember you've learned something from it. It was valuable. Melt it down. Start another one and keep going. It tells me that you have made a tremendous amount of progress having come from this rather unfortunate background. The third card, and of course we're asking about love, but none of these cards are about love yet, right? The third card is the card of temperance. This shows an angel, and this is the angel Raphael, the angel of healing. This angel has a robe with Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the name of God, embroidered on it, and also a symbol on the chest of a triangle upright in a square, which many people take to mean sexual union. The triangle upward pointing is the male, the square being the female. But it just seems to mean some sort of union of spirit and body. The angel has a solar disc on the head, halo, and is pouring water between two cups, and not a drop is spilled. And this card is the symbol of Aquarius, your sign, and the water forms a sort of a zigzaggy pattern, unlike natural water, like the symbol for the sign Aquarius. But you cannot go where you're going. There's a crown in the sky called the Crown in Glory, or Kether, the crown. You can't get there except for that you walk through water, and then you get back on the path. So your path has been interrupted. Beside the angel, there are iris flowers, which stand for communication, the rainbow path of inclusivity of all people, and also the rainbow iris is the goddess of communication. So there's a lot of things here. This is one of the most beautiful cards, but it says you will find love, you will achieve the crown, but you have to go through water first. So what does that mean? Water stands for emotions, for meditation, for bathing, and for spiritual work. And the angel is there to remind you that there is a perfect mate for you somewhere, or maybe more than one. You will find someone who shares your mentality. And like two cups of water flowing one to another, this angel is like a soda jerk in a 1920 soda fountain, just pouring back and forth and nothing is spilled. And isn't that fantastic? So you will find someone much like you. But it's going to be a path that you need to do some work on yourself as far as mental, a heart work around love and sexuality. All right. That's it for me. Let's see what root work we can get prescribed.
Thanks, Ms. Kay. I think
Thank
our readings very much are in line there in regards to doing some heart work there. So let's see if we can get Professor Porterfield in here to give some of those recommendations.
Thank you, Conjurman Ali and Ms. Kat. Well, Sarah, I have a little piece of work for you. And again, just like Conjurman I've advised earlier, you can come back and listen to the archive so you can get it all written down. So what I want you to do is I want you to go out, and this should be no surprise advice coming from me, and get you a new deck of playing cards. Doesn't have to be fancy, doesn't have to be expensive. You can buy them anywhere, grocery store, anywhere. You're going to take that deck home, and you're going to take out of it the Six of Hearts and the Two of Hearts. Now, this Six of Hearts, you're going to take a Sharpie, and you're going to write down the middle, as if you're writing in the middle of the path of that six, your little petition saying, I want someone to come to me. I want to be open. I want the way to be open to me. Just use your own words talking about how you want that road of love open to you so someone can come to you. And then what you're going to do is you're going to place a lodestone on top of that Six of Hearts. You're going to start this on the full moon. Okay, and then you're going to burn a mixture of bay leaves and myrtle. The bay leaves are for your victory. The myrtle is to help with love and to get you a little better off. The bay leaf is also to help you have be victorious in your own problems that you're coming through. And you're going to just waft that smoke over the Six of Hearts and your little lodestone there. And you're going to do that once a week, on a Friday or on a Sunday. When the full moon comes again, you're going to get yourself a little red bag, and into that red bag you're going to put passion flower leaves, a little written petition, and on that petition I want you to write out exactly the sort of mate you want. You say, I want them to be like this, I want them to be interested in all these things. You're going to fold that towards you, that goes in the bag too, and then you're going to either put the whole Two of Hearts card, or you can cut off the corners of that Two of Hearts where it says 2H, right, or the two heart symbol depending on the deck style you buy, and put them in your little bag. You're going to close it up, tie it, you're going to pray over it for love, and then you're going to take it along with you with the Six of Hearts. I'm sorry, you're also going to put your lodestone in there. And then you're going to take your prepared bag with your leftover Six of Hearts, you're going to go to a crossroad, and you're going to leave the Six of Hearts at the crossroad. Don't destroy it, don't mar it, don't burn it up. Just leave it there so it can sit at the crossroads to help draw someone in to you from every corner of the earth along the path of love to you. And then you're going to keep your little red bag with your passion flowers, your personal petition, your Two of Hearts, and your lodestone in it. And you're going to feed that with Love Me oil every full moon, and keep it close to you at all times. Keep it in your purse, you can keep it in your bosom, and that's going to help you. I hope that has been of some aid.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, you mentioned the Two of Hearts also at the
opening
right. of this.
Yes,
so that's
what do
you
right.
do
the
with two of hearts?
The Two of Hearts goes into her little red bag, or she can put the indices.
I see. Got it. Oh, I see. So it's the cut corners of the Two of Hearts, but the Six of Hearts is left at the crossroads.
That's right, ma'am.
Got
Ooh,
it.
I
was
that,
slow
yeah.
on the slow on the uptake there. Thank you.
No, I got a little confused there too, but I think that's a fantastic, fantastic working. Ms. Kett, do you have anything to add based off of your reading?
No, this is really good, and this is real typical of Professor Porterfield's work in the book A Deck of Spells, if you want to read more of this type of work. The only thing I might add to it, I'm a big rose petal fanatic, so I might add some rose petals to that bag.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. Good luck with the situation. We do wish you all the best, and thank you for entrusting us with this matter. We're going to have a quick break, and then we'll have our free spell segment.
Mm-hmm. the LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Ruler Power with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Thank you, Troll Towelhead, Chief Engineer of the LMC Radio Network, for bringing us those announcements each and every week. Now it's time for our freestyle segment with Miss Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California. Take it away, Miss Cat.
All right. Well, because this is an interview with me about medical herbology, I'm going to give you not a spell, but a free piece of medicine. Okay? So this is Althea's hot lemon and chicken soup for colds, fevers, flus, and other things. And like many of these home remedies, it seems so simple, but the medical principles behind it are very, very strong and understood, well understood. So this soup relieves throat troubles and catarrh. Catarrh is an old word for excessive flow of mucus. In this case, we're talking about nasal catarrh and lung catarrh. In other words, you're coughing up goo, and goo is running out of your nose. To a cup of water, add 1 teaspoon chicken soup base. I like the brand called Better Than Bouillon, but you're on your own with that one. And 1/8 teaspoon of miso soybean paste. Okay, so far it sounds just like making chicken soup, right? Heat this on the stove at high. Now, here's where it starts to get medical. Add 1/8 teaspoon of aji amarillo powder. This is yellow hot red pepper powder, but it's yellow red pepper powder, okay? It's quite hot. And you could use regular old cayenne, but this aji amarillo powder, oh boy, that stuff is good. It's not so hot that it kills you, and you really want to put quite a bit in it. Remove it from the heat, and you add the juice and pulp of 1/2 fresh lemon or lemon equivalent. You can use those concentrated things. I use fresh lemons because we have them growing here in our yard. Allow the patient to dilute this with warm water to taste and temperature. In other words, give it to them as hot as they can bear it. Give them a little thing of warm water and let them dilute it till it's not too salty, not too hot, whatever they want. They want to drink it as hot as they can take it. For variety, you can add orzo pasta, that's the pasta that looks like rice, or leftover cooked rice while the liquids are heating and remove from the heat when cooked. You can also add crumbled tuna because, hey, why not? And then you can add fresh basil, which is also really good for you, and the lemon juice, of course. Or if it's for the nutritious end, you know, feed a cold, starve a fever, if you want to make it more nutritious, you can take a Stracciatella alla Romana approach and an Golimone approach. You take one egg, beat the egg up, add a little handful of Parmesan cheese, and stir it in as it's cooking, which will make the stracciatella, or the shreds of egg, egg flour, egg drop soup. And then add the lemon and the basil at the end. You can also, hey, go all the way and add broccoli, and it'll be food. But you want to make this thing so hot that it kind of burns your throat a little bit. Boy, it will clear out your sinuses, your nasal passages. It will remove a cough. It is real food, but it's real medicine too. And the active ingredient in this is the pepper powder and the lemon. Those are very strong medicine.
Ooh, that is beautiful. I was just, when you were talking about how hot it was, I could actually feel not necessarily the heat, but a little bit of salivating and the clearing up of the sinuses on my end. Just thinking about it.
Oh, yes, I was sitting here constantly clearing my throat.
But doesn't it also sound absolutely delicious? It does really sound quite good. I have to
it
say,
really
even
does.
Though it's going to be spicy, you know it's going to be spicy, it does taste, it sounds like it's going to taste really. And what I really love about this, and what I think is great, is that it's practical. You're making a food that's being consumed, but it has medicinal herbs that we use, has these herbs that we use in our root work, right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't, it's not, someone's sick. It's not a candle that's being lit. It's a soup that's being made. It's something that's going to be ingested.
Right.
I love that. I love that about it.
And I'm going to say something else, too.
It sounds absolutely fantastic.
It's really, really good. And I began to have it when I was very, very ill. And my daughter, Althea, I named it after her, she prescribed it to me. She actually is a surgeon and a medical doctor, but she's also an herbologist as well. She said, do this, and I did it, and man. But then afterwards, I got to kind of liking it. So now I have it about once a week. I'm going to tell you, all you ladies, it's good for weight loss, too, or maintaining your weight. For one evening, that's your dinner. Boy, it's nutritious. That's where the orzo comes in. You want to put a little something. It's actually a very good weight loss soup as well. Now, I'm going to tell you another thing about this. It has lemon in it and soup base, of course, and all these other things and hot red pepper. But it is related to the family of cough and cold medicines that are made around alcohol, like brandy or whiskey, with lemon and with sugar. If you like this for dinner and you still have this cough and cold, wait an hour or so and then take a hot toddy of the whiskey, the lemon. That's the other half of the lemon that you just ate the half of, right? And, mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I like to put the lemon pulp in there, too, and eat it, but not the seeds. And so the other half, that's your dessert. It's your whiskey or your brandy, your lemon juice, and then you're going to sweeten it with honey. Some people will heat that up a little bit. Drink that. It'll knock you out because of the alcohol, and you'll sleep soundly, and it'll continue to clear your throat.
I would also like to add that this recipe that you gave for this soup, just looking at the ingredients, I can tell you all from personal life experience, this is also going to be a very good meal for you to eat if you are a diabetic.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And any type of food, you mentioned, for example, hot pepper. Hot pepper is an agitator, right? That's it also mm-hmm. gets the metabolism going. It's a true, so you mentioned weight loss. Something like this would mm-hmm. be excellent for weight loss because it really does get that metabolism flowing. In fact, for people who are struggling with weight loss, right, where they've tried diets and they've tried all sorts of things and it's not working out, more often that could be a metabolism issue, that your metabolism mm-hmm. needs a little bit of a jump start. And a meal like this with hot pepper can help to jumpstart the metabolism in that way. So you could see mm-hmm. here how the red pepper is both acting as an agitator here and how we use it in so-called spell work, right, as an agitator
right.
to heat things up, to bring the fire, as well as the lemon, the ability to clean, to cleanse, to cut away. So that I love that you could really see the sympathy of the magic with the medicinal qualities that are being used
right.
in the soup.
And I'm going to say another thing about it, too. Adding the tuna, that's a troll towel head touch because he's Mr. Tuna. I like broccoli, too, and broccoli is an antioxidant. It's not considered mm-hmm. one of the herbs. It's a vegetable. But as we all know, broccoli also will help the body's health, generally speaking. And mm-hmm. red pepper is used to, it's used in hot foot powder. It's going to get rid of all those viruses and germs.
Yes. Ooh,
bacteria.
Really
it's a bactericide. Yeah.
I can tell you, I'm tempted to make this. So it's an excellent
it's
recipe.
Good.
Let's have Papa Duke come in and take us out, and then we will come back, say goodbye, and have some final remarks.
Thank you, Conjurman Ali. Thank you, Professor Porterfield, for being our co-host, special co-host today. And thank you, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Aura LaForest of AuraLaForest.com in Quebec, Canada, discussing her new book, Woman's Work, Style, Hoodoo, Spells for Marriage, Sex, and Motherhood. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Conjurman Ali at theconjurman.com in Mission Viejo, California, and Professor Porterfield at professorporterfield.com in Denton, Texas. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Yeah, thanks, Papa Newt.
And I want to mention something.
I want to step in for just one moment.
I'll let you have the last word. just a quick reminder to people that Candelo has mentioned in the chat room that Miss Cat will be on his show tomorrow. So don't miss that. Okay, Professor Porter, you can go.
I was going to say, Miss Cat, well, this subject is so large that it cannot be covered in one show. Listen, tomorrow, Candelo's Corner, Miss Cat will be there to talk about this with Candelo. And then Thursday, Miss Cat will be on the Now You Know show to talk about this topic because it takes three shows to cover it, folks.
we have the same thing in mind. That's funny. Thank you, Miss Cat, for joining us. We really enjoyed having you as our guest. You are an amazing guest. You can go back to being co-host or being host next week. But for now, we really loved having you on. And thank you, Professor Porterfield, for stepping in and helping out as you can. You guys, don't miss out Miss Cat this week. She's going to be on everywhere. Good night, all.
Good night, all. Thanks for having me as a guest. Bye-bye.